We've been looking at identity. What is it that makes us who we are? Why do we exist? What were we created for? And the young people have been giving you an insight of how they see identity, how it impacts them, and what they see around them. But what about the rest of us? How do we see identity? How do we define it? And where do we place it? And sometimes, Paul touched on this earlier, actually. I think sometimes, like in society, it's so easy for us to kind of like box ourselves or box people like into a particular category because we've got like a few short seconds to tell someone about us. You know, they might ask two questions or one question or three questions, you know, but in those seconds and that, do we really know? And that, you know, I could tell you right now, my name is Hannah. I've got curly hair. I'm becoming more and more of an Essex girl. I love a KFC on my way home from evening service, especially the one in Gallows Corner. But all I've told you is my name, my appearance, and my really bad eating habits. Do you really know much about me? Maybe as we begin to unwrap, maybe as we begin to unbox each other, we get to know a little bit more. But even then, where do we place our identity? What do we tell people about ourselves so they can see into who we are? Where do we place it? Maybe we place our identity in some things that change over time, depending on what stage of life we're moving in. When we're young, it could start off with our favourite colour, maybe like who our favourite TV character is, our favourite bedtime story that mum reads us or dad reads us at the end of the day. And then as we get older, it can move into our friends are, the town that we live in, the postcode that we bear. And then it might move into our jobs, the car we drive, the house that we have, our roles in the church even, or even like what our kids are doing, you know, what they're up to and what our involvement in their lives are. And yet, I'm sure for all of us, there's still that burning question, who am I? You know, there's got to be more to me than just all of these peripheral things that I tell people. I'm going to read a few verses in Ephesians where Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus and he's explaining a new identity given to someone who is in Christ. So it's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. There are so many wonderful elements in that passage. You know, God talks about how we are loved, we are chosen long before we came into like an earthly existence. We are adopted into his family. This makes us, as people have said before, his children. And we are forgiven. The slate is wiped clean because of what Jesus did for us. You know, and there are so many things. These verses are just embellished with all that God says that we are, all God gives to us because he created us. Everything about this passage tells us that God calls us into being with an identity and a plan. He made you with a plan and with a purpose attached. He didn't make you just for you to exist. But the key to discovering this is to focus on the Lord. The things that we tend to place our identity in can bend and sway in this fragile life and the fragile world that we live in. You know, I'm sure we've come across so many people that place their identity in their work, in their family, you know, in all these peripheral things that we gain in this life. But the minute that we get made redundant or something changes, you know, or something is like kind of stripped away from us, we stand, you know, you almost feel like kind of completely stripped and thinking, well, who am I? What do I do now? What am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to function? But the plan and promises of God are unchangeable. They move outside of these peripheral things, so they don't bend and they don't sway like the world does. When we often know that famous verse in Matthew 6 that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and exactly, all these things shall be added unto you." But that whole essence of seek God first in his kingdom and everything else shall be added. We do it so easily when we're young. You know, I'm sure many of you have got like children or grandchildren that approach you and say like, "I'm having a hard time with this," or "I don't know what to do about that." And the first response is like, "Well, have you prayed about it? Have you taken it to God? You know, and I remember at the age of like kind of when I was six and that I would just sort of like give things to God, but I would leave them with him. I wouldn't take it back and then put it in my back pocket and take it to the next day with me. I would leave it with him to figure out. As we get older, I think it becomes more of a struggle. We feel like the stakes get higher and we try to help God a little bit, don't we? We do the whole, "Well, God, if I give you this bit, but I think I can figure this bit out," and that he needs to have all of it in order to bring everything into his purpose. In the passage we read, it talks about trust, trusting God. But we get so busy and entrenched in that stuff that we think our identity is caught up in. You know, we're thinking, you know, I need to get a promotion. I need to think this. I'm having a baby, so I need to think about this and stuff and all the rest of it. And we bury our heads in it that we forget to look up and we forget to take things to the person that made us. You know, to the person that called everything we have in this life as part of his plan and part of his purpose. It could be our work, our exams, our homework, our children that we begin to place our plan and purpose on instead of looking at Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything else will follow. Everything else will come into place. So I guess my encouragement to you is to take this passage home, to personalize these verses. It talks a lot about, you know, it talks a lot about like kind of us and we, but what if you were to put your name in there, you know? "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place, even as he chose me in him before the foundation of the world, that I should be holy and blameless before him." I mean, how empowering is that? I feel better already knowing that I am chosen by God. Little me in this big universe. Little me. Earlier, some of you talked about like kind of, you know, how do we make that bridge when we tell someone, "Oh, I'm a Christian," and that. I often find it quite hard, like when I go to like some gatherings and people say, "Well, Hannah, what do you do for a living?" You're like, how am I going to dodge this one? Or how am I going to explain it to them so they don't go, oh, okay, and then that's the end of the conversation, you know. But there's no getting around it, you know. Everything about you should represent everything that God is through you. People should, you know, and people want to know about that. They want to know why you have a particular way about you, why you're so full of grace, why you're so full of joy. I wonder what it'd be like if I introduced myself to people and I said, I'm Hannah and I'm a Christian, or I'm Hannah and I'm a child of God. It's about continuously recommitting yourself to God every day and focusing Him every day, reminding yourself, I am a child of God. We do this thing, me and my husband, when we first moved to Basildon, we used to drive all the way to East London for work every day. We used to get in the car and we used to commit the day to God, you know. My dad always said, like, kind of take the day to God so the day doesn't run around you and that. And I just remember sitting in my car and we would always pray, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Where would you want me to be today? Who do you want me to speak to today? You know, what's your plan and your purpose for me today? My encouragement to you is to know whose you are so you can fully know who you are. Shall we pray? Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have created us, Lord, with a plan, with a purpose, with an identity, with a personality, with everything, Father, a complete package. Help us, Lord, to constantly be focusing on you and looking to you, Lord, to find what our true plan and our purpose and our identity is, Lord. Help us not to get distracted by the things that the world puts on us, by everything that, like, people say we should be and the world says that we should be. Help us, Lord, to focus on who you say we are. Verse 18 says, have the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Lord, help us to have our hearts enlightened and our eyes fixed so that we can fully know what our inheritance is. We can fully know who it is you've called us to be. We thank you, Lord, for how much you love us and for how much you give to us and for what you do for us and for how you've created us to be your children, to make an impact in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.